Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on November the 8th. Coming up today, we'll hear from a campaigner who's fighting plans to build more than 8,000 new homes near Skittingbourne. We'll also hear from the Gills boss ahead of their League 2 match with top-of-the-table Port Vale this weekend. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Drivers have been left shaken after telling police they were shot at while driving along the A2. Pictures at Kent Online show the extent of the damage, with some windows being shattered completely, while others left with gaping holes. Reporter Cara Simmons has been following this story for the podcast. She's with me now. Cara, where exactly do drivers say they've been shot at, and when did this all start?
It seems to be that drivers were fired at along the A2 by Darrenth at around 6 p.m. last night. A person posted a warning on Facebook saying that he was targeted along the road near Blue Water, and other drivers confirmed this as well. Several more have come forward this morning. Another driver says he was hit on the M20 at Junction 4 near Leybourne, but that was later on in the evening, so could possibly be a separate incident.
And you've spoken to one of the drivers who was targeted. What did he have to say?
He told me that it scared him half to death. There was this almighty bang on the passenger side of the car. It didn't break the windscreen, but glass shards were left on his seats. And he's really worried because it's not going to be a cheap fix.
You've also been in touch with police. What's been their response?
Officers received multiple calls from drivers last night. They went straight to the scene and carried out checks and made sure to search the area. They believe it was a catapult that was used. However, no suspects have been identified and inquiries into the reports are still ongoing.
Thanks so much, Cara. Taking a look at another of our top stories today, a drink driver who killed his friends in a crash in Deal tried to reassure his passengers just minutes before the fatal crash, saying he was a good driver and that he'd get them home safely. Jack Nixon was over the legal limit for alcohol and cannabis when his car collided with a bridge wall in Deal in October 2022. 21-year-old Owen Tagg, who'd recently become a new dad and was due to start a new job, suffered serious injuries and was pronounced dead at the scene. They'd all been on a night out in Canterbury together, and while some wanted to get a taxi home, Mr. Nixon assured them he was okay to drive. The 27-year-old from Cannon Street in Deal also injured two other passengers. He's been jailed for 9.5 years.
Kent Online News.
Police investigating reports of bank card fraud in Medway have given us CCTV images of a woman they want to speak to. A stolen card has been used multiple times at shops and a fast food restaurant in Chatham and Gillingham. We've shared the pictures at Kent Online. Two men have been charged after people at a house near Folkestone were allegedly threatened before property was stolen. Police were called to the Corbett Road area of Hawkinge on Sunday night. A 34-year-old from Durham and a 22-year-old from Folkestone have appeared in court. The Archbishop of Canterbury says he's considered resigning over an abuse case involving a British barrister. Our reports found the Church of England covered up crimes committed by John Smith QC, who died at the age of 75 in 2018. Justin Welby says he's taken advice from senior colleagues and will stay on in the role.
Kent Online News.
Work has started on a project called Dover 50, redeveloping parts of the docks and waterfront in the town. We're told the construction will give the area space for businesses, new homes and office space. It's expected to cost hundreds of millions of pounds over 30 years. Doug Bannister is the CEO at the Port of Dover. He's been speaking to reporter Sam Lennon.
For the Dover Western Docks revival, we always had an ambition of completing the entire vision, which saw us reclaim the docks. We accelerated the infill of the docks primarily to create more capacity for being able to conduct a portion of the EES process, mainly the car registration. And we needed more land within the port to be able to do that. And that was the only place we could create it.
Right. Tell us about what's just been happening with the Granville Dock. It's just the places that are transformed.
So a little over a month ago, we really started the infilling work. And so it's all happened very, very quickly. That's the benefit of using sand to fill it all in. It goes around very nicely. So what we're doing now is we need to let the newly reclaimed land settle a bit. And then what people will start to see is activity going on top of it for preparing us for the introduction of the European entry-exit system. The exact plans of that, the designs have been largely agreed, but the exact plans are dependent upon us receiving final approval for being able to conduct that bit of the process out here in the West.
And do you think it'll be done in time for, because the EES is supposed to, they keep putting it off, but the EES is supposed to be coming sometime in the first half of next year. Will you be able to sort of have it in time so it's ready for the lorry, for the vehicles to come on to be checked?
So we've been all geared up to be ready for EES on the 10th of November. And indeed, we will be ready for EES on the 10th of November. We always had an idea of phase two of EES to get ready for the peak summer traffic next year. And so if EES does indeed come in during the first half of next year, we will have plans to be able to handle that summer traffic.
Now, as we know, Dover can become a nightmare with port traffic spilling into the town, and it seems to happen most years. How did it go this summer?
Well, I have to tell you, Sam, this summer it was fantastic. The traffic management was all in place, and it all really worked well. We'd added new border capacity to be able to manage more traffic going through the port, and Police All Frontier, the French Immigration Police, were just superb. Now, what that meant is that we took our average processing time from summer 23 of 41 minutes down to just about 10 minutes. And at no point in time during the summertime, other than maybe a 15-minute interval, did we have any traffic really queuing outside the port. So the town of Dover remained clear all summer long.
You mentioned to Bradley Wharf, which was knocked down just last year, and he would be very interested to find out what's going to happen with it. So what did you say is going to happen to physically take the place of that shopping center?
So what we are looking at now is how do we create a commercial quarter around De Bradley Wharf. It could include things like office accommodation, perhaps for some of our people, but other people as well. Maritime Innovation Hub has been talked about. Right now, we've got to determine what the funding is and what the requirements are for us to come up with the actual physical plans for what we might actually do on the site.
Now, a Kent charity is looking for investors to help tackle homelessness, as two of the hotels they use for accommodation could be closing. Making a Difference Maidstone helps victims of abuse and people in poverty. Bosses are looking to buy their own property to give vulnerable residents somewhere to stay. Amanda Sidwell is their founder.
What we're looking for to achieve this accommodation and this project that we have on our heart is for people to come forward, be it businesses, be it entrepreneurs, whoever's out there that has the money that they want to invest, and there are investors, we all know that they feel that they want to invest to make a difference to Maidstone. If this is your town, if this is your community, you know, we don't want to see people out on the street. We don't want to hear about somebody who's lost a job, therefore they're going to lose their accommodation. And these have been people that are in their 50s, or someone who's now got a health issue, cancer. We had a gentleman that has cancer, And he had a stomach bag, and he was living in a tent, and he was a mature man. And this is the reality of what we find. We have breakdown in relationships with husbands and wife or couples, and often the man has to leave the home, the wife stays there with the children, he needs accommodation. So there are some people that really, we want to invest in their lives so that we can make a difference in their lives, and they can make a difference in the community as a whole.
Kent Online News.
A care home for people with learning disabilities in Dartford has been rated inadequate by the health watchdog. Inspectors visited Shaw Lodge and raised concerns about safety, training and communication with families. One resident suffered cuts after glass from a broken photo frame was left all night before being cleared up. The home's been put in special measures to make sure improvements are made. It's feared a Kent cinema could struggle to survive if car parking fees are increased again. The manager of the Curzon West Gate in Canterbury says visitor numbers have already plummeted since charges in nearby Pound Lane went up in April. A consultation's launching next week on plans to hike prices even further. Council bosses say they need the money, but will listen to feedback. Chestnut Street will be closed for 2 weeks as it's connected with the A249. The works are part of a new 600-home Wises Lane development and will give residents access to the Maidstone-bound carriageway. Construction will start November 18th and finish December 6th.
Kent Online News.
A decision on controversial plans for more than 8,000 new homes near Sittingbourne will now be made by the government. The Garden Village Highstead Park was recommended for refusal at a council meeting last night, but it's been called in by the ministers at the 11th hour. Carol Gotham is a Farms, Fields and Fresh Air campaigner who's fighting against the project between Bapchild and Tenham.
8,400 homes is just about bigger than the whole of Faversham as it stands at the moment, with all the building that's happened already over the last few years. So it's the size of a town in Swale, the second biggest settlement in Swale. And together with that, you get a population of around 20,000 people, which is an awful lot of people to house on farmland with no infrastructure. So I think people are thinking that, one, this is best and most versatile agricultural land that should have protection from the government. And two, you know, we know that our sewage works are already struggling. We know that our GPs are already struggling with people. There aren't enough GPs for the population as it stands, and we can't magic them out of thin air. You know, we have to train them, we have to compete with London, where they would get more wages, higher wages. So the problem is really the infrastructure, I think. This proposal joins up seven outlying villages on the edge of Sittingbourne, between Sittingbourne and Tenham. And there is a rural way of life here. People deliberately choose, or maybe they've been born and brought up here, maybe generations of their family have lived here and worked on the land, and suddenly they would find themselves in you know, a new town with tiny rural roads. And if the developer is going to increase the width of the roads, improve the infrastructure to service that amount of houses, 8,400, then there's going to be an awful lot of destruction of the countryside that goes along with that. Hedgerows, and we know that they're so important for wildlife. It's just going to be a complete change of situation for the poor people that are living here.
The company behind the proposals insist it'll benefit the whole area. A protest has taken place outside County Hall in Maidstone over plans to close a popular children's centre. Families aren't happy about the idea of shutting Seashells in Sheerness and moving some of their services elsewhere. Local Democracy reporter Simon Finlay has been chatting to staff, including the manager of Seashells.
Kate Townsend Blazier, I'm the lead petitioner. After submitting 6,100 signatures to oppose the question of cutting the family subservices of funding to Seashells and Millmead family hubs.
Okay. Why do you think it's important to keep it?
It's a hugely preventative service. The work that we do is incredibly important in ensuring children, families and young people have the best opportunities in life. And without our services, it's going to cost KCC more in the long run. There's going to be an awful lot of money needed to spend in years to come to fix the problems that we would usually prevent.
So we're here to be the voice for our families. We have a lot of vulnerable families and they haven't really been given the chance to give their voice. We've had lots of responses to the petition, so we're here to fight for them.
Yes, we're here to help our families in our area. Without Seashells, it would be really detrimental to all the families that we support.
Our families need us every day that we are at Seashells. If we're not there, they will be absolutely lost and devastated. We need to be there for them.
We had 1,100 responses to the consultation, 6,000 plus people signed a petition. We're here to show Sue Chandler and the CYPE committee that our families matter, their voices matter, and we want to make sure that the service isn't diminished for our families most in need.
More than 6,000 people signed a petition and are hoping to encourage councillors to have a rethink.
Kent Online News.
And now with a look at what's on around the county this weekend, here's Sam Laurie.
Now the calendar has flipped over to November, it feels like the countdown to Christmas has truly begun. There are Christmas ads on the telly, mince pies in the supermarket, and we've even got our very own Christmas calendar up on Kent Online to make sure you don't miss out on any of the county's festive events. Speaking of Christmas, Kent's festive season is kicking off this weekend with the Winterland Market, which opens at Bluewater on Saturday. The outdoor fair features a huge observation wheel, outdoor food and drink huts, and fairground rides. And on Tuesday, the undercover ice rink also opens with daily skating sessions and after dark events. Now, if you prefer to stay indoors this weekend, I can't say I blame you, and I've got some great shows lined up for you if that's the case. Comedian and TV star John Bishop is bringing his new tour, Back At It, to the Marlow Theatre in Canterbury on Sunday. Of course, he's one of the UK's most popular comics, so it's almost sold out, but there are one or two tickets left, so if you fancy it, make sure you snap them up quickly. And there's a double bill of ballet coming to the Central Theatre in Chatham on Saturday. In the afternoon, dance company Crown Ballet is putting on their version of the timeless Swan Lake. Then, that evening, the same group of talented dancers will perform festive favourite The Nutcracker. Finally, of course, I want to mention that this weekend is Remembrance Sunday. Crowds will be gathering all over Kent to pay their respects to those who have put their lives on the line on Sunday morning. If you want to find out where and when the county's remembrance services, parades and concerts are happening, you can find our list of events up on the What's On website. So whatever you get up to this weekend, whether you stay in or go out, I hope you and your family have a wonderful couple of days.
Thanks, Sam.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and top of the table Port Vale are the visitors to take on Gillingham this weekend. They are 4 points clear with 9 wins from their 14 games so far. The Gills have dropped to 11th after going 6 games without a win and lost in the FA Cup last time out. Here's manager Mark Bonner.
One to be quite excited about. We seem to have, over the first third of the season, played against teams at the top quite often. So we've had a lot of those challenges that we've coped with actually really well in a number of ways. And I think to have that as your first game back after a bit of a break is a good one. To be home is a good thing. And to build on, you can't detach yourself from the overall run. But actually, if you just go back a little bit and go, all right, we should have won the game at Swindon, but we took a point and we ended a run of defeats. And we're not patting ourselves on the back for exiting the cup because we really wanted to get through in it. But we played really well last week. And so we've gone into this week in a little bit of a mindset of great time to be back playing league football. Really good opponent to play against. Obviously a League One team last year with a lot of players from good levels. I think they've added really well in the summer as well to that squad. And their run of form speaks for itself. They've got experienced management team, experienced players. Players that have played higher levels, whether that was last year or beyond that, and they're in a really good vein of form. But as I've said number of times, runs only ever go on so long. So they'll be trying to maintain theirs. Obviously, we'll be trying to get a W on the board as soon as possible, and that's a great challenge to try and do it at the weekend.
Considering how big this challenge is, have you noticed an extra edge in training with the players, or is it just business as normal?
Yeah, I mean, it ain't that big. It's two League T teams that are decent playing against each other, and the difference between the top and the bottom of this league isn't that big. They're a good side, but they're along the lines of many others, you know. Like, we'll play bigger games, I hope, this year. What it is a team that are in really good form with very good players. But when we're at our best, we're a good team with good players. So that's the thing. You can make it feel as big as you want. Yeah, we need a result, but we can't play desperate. We need to play with a bit of confidence. We need to show an aggression in the way we go after them. We need to make it a hard day for them, and we'll do that by doing the things we do well, and the things we target trying to do well in this game, whatever those things are that we decide and the way in which we go after the game. So I really like how everyone's trained this week, but even in some bad runs or games where we haven't really either got results or performed, quite often I've been quite happy with the training levels. And certainly this week, last week, there's been a real focus about the players, a nice edge about them, a good competition in the training sessions, and the group's getting stronger and bigger as well to choose from. I think over the next few weeks we'll see a nice transformation in who's available. So that's good, and I hope that the good stuff from last weekend can carry into the game, even though the game will be different. And the things that we're best at, we do well.
Midfielder Ewan Williams has been chatting to the club's media.
I think we're really looking forward to it. It's one of them where, obviously, they're a good side, and at the moment they're top of the league. And it's one where we have to be at our best to get something from the game. But I think we're all quietly confident, and we're just looking forward to getting out there and getting going.
Is that the sort of game we need right now? You know exactly what Port Vale are going to bring. Run beaten in 10, they've won the last 5. You get to be at the very top of the game.
We rise to those occasions sometimes. Sometimes the harder it is, the more it draws from us and the better that we play.
From your perspective, a few minutes under your belt, you started the last couple. We must be really pleased having to got in the team and then kept the shirt.
Yeah, obviously the Swindon game was my full league debut. And then last week was a good a good debut in the FA Cup as well. So it's two on the bounce now, and I just hope that throughout the season I can keep playing and keep impressing.
It comes as Mark Bonner says he believes he's got the backing of those at the top as they try and turn around their poor run of form. The club's chairman, Brad Gallinson, recently posted on socials saying he's confident in the team. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can check out the latest review from The Secret Drinker, who's been in a pub with a golden glow near Brands Hatch. You can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to ad-free content and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of the annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.